appreciate Brother Holloman letting me come, and I enjoyed talking with you earlier. We're here letting you know who we are, what we do. I'm proud of who we are. I've known about our I was a teenager, and I had no idea what we do until I got into it, and it just exploded. We're doing a whole lot more. Thank God for that. I'm not going to rehash what I said this morning, but do keep us in your prayers. Keep me and my wife in your prayers as we travel every weekend, and enjoy what we're doing. Enjoy the ministry that we're in. Enjoy seeing children taken care of, seeing seniors taken care of, and not being taken advantage of. Turn your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter verse 1. Is that better?
Is that going to be a little better? If they kick the machine back there, it ain't on you, brother.
So, we're okay, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right. As we read this, I want you to think about one thought. Are you willing to be a bush? You got to be willing to be a bush, to be used of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the mist. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, or my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let us pray. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. And God, I pray you'd help us to examine our hearts, help us to see where we are, what we are for you, what you've called upon us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moses was a man that was born to poverty, born to slavery. And yet his mother, as you know, hid him in the bulrush because they were going to kill all the babies. And she hid him in the bulrushes, and he was found and by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in the home of Pharaoh as his own son, really. And yet 40 years he was there, and God brought him out of there. And he went into the desert and wandered in the desert and met up with Jethro and was with Jethro for 44 years looking at doing what he was doing, probably content to be where he was, making money for Jethro, having a good living, having a wife, and things were going great. You ever been in a situation where things are going really good and you're just happy where you are? All of a sudden, it seems like everything turns upside down. Well, here was Moses out tending to the sheep one day, just like any other day, and he looked up and he saw something. He saw a bush that was on fire, but it was not being consumed. Now, that would excite the world's going on, but here's this bush that was on fire, was not being consumed, and God had a hand in planting that bush. Now, I want us to look at the bush. Because I want you to see this morning, are you really willing to be a bush for God? God knew that there would be a need for that bush at that time and at that place. He knew when it was needed. He knew when to plant it there. And he knew how to go for it until he needed it. God knows where you are this morning. God knows that you're here at Hardin Valley. And God knows that this may not be your end place. This may be a place where he can launch you out into a ministry that only he knows what you're capable of doing. But he's got you here today, and you need to be willing to be surrendered to him to what he's called you to do. From the beginning of time, God knew that he would need this right there at that point. And it had to be planted. The method used to plant that bush, we don't really know what it was. We don't really know maybe why you came here you are. Of all the churches in this area, of all the churches in Knoxville area, why in the world did you come to Hardin Valley? God knows what the need is. God knows what your need is. He knows how you can help Hardin Valley Church. He knows how you can be a ministry to someone else. And that's why he's got you here. The seed to that bush had to be carried there by something. Maybe the wind picked it up somewhere and blew it through the desert until it landed in that spot. Wasn't just a haphazard spot. Of any place in the desert, that seed could have landed, but it landed exactly where it did. Maybe there was a bird that flew over and had been eating some things, and you know how birds do, they'll eat things and the berries go right through their system and they get deposited, and that bird dropped that seed, and yet God knew exactly what spot that seed needed to go into. He knew that you needed to be here today. He knew that this is where you need to be because God has a plan for your life. God the planting of that seed at a particular place and at a particular time. And God has you here at a time that he wants you here for a specific reason. Now this seed was protected by God. You may not realize it today, but you've been protected by God. You've been put in a place and God is taking care of you through whatever turmoil that you may be going through, whatever problem you may be facing, God is taking care of you and leaving you here for that reason. While you're here, there may be somebody trying to cause you trouble. There may be somebody coming up and just causing an argument with you, but God leans in that process, just like this seed that was in being planted in this desert place. There was a drought there. There was very little water for some time. And there was just nothing, it seemed like, that could flourish. And yet what does the bush do? It plants its roots low or deep. And that's what you need to do. You need to plant your roots deep today. Get down to where God can use you. Get watered by the Holy Spirit of God and just say, God, I'm here. I'm going to stay here. This is where you've got me. And God, I'm going to work here. I'm going to dwell here. I'm going to do the job that you want me to do here. And God, you take care of me. That's what he did for this bush. He took care of it. Animals may come up and prone to bite at it. And some people, if I can say that, are animals today. They'll lash out at you. They'll do anything and everything to stop you and to hinder you from doing the work of God. You know, here you are trying to get into doing something that God wants you to do. And there's always somebody jealous. There's always somebody don't want you to get the praise. They want all the praise. They don't want to do anything, but they want to get all the praise. They want to be lifted up. And when they see you lifted up, they get jealous. And they'll try to do more and more. But God will take care of you in that time, just as these animals would maybe nibble at this bush. That bush began to still grow and get to be where God could use it. Harsh winds would blow. The hot winds from the desert would come in and blow against the bush, but it could take the wind because its roots had been centered low in the ground, and it had been put all the way down to where the water table was. And when the harsh winds come and would dry it up, up the water that it needed, it could survive. It was anchored there, and you need to be anchored today. If you're wishy-washy about what you believe, about where you're going, what you're doing, you need to be centered in the will of God. You need to be where God can use you and show others how to be a Christian through you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not this and I'm not that. Hey, you don't know what God wants you to be. You don't know what God's able to use you for. Others can look at you and see you as a stout, strong Christian and say, I wish I could be that way. You say, oh, surely it's not me. Hey, we need to get over feeling like we're nothing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do what God wants me to do. I can stand firm and steadfast on solid ground, knowing that I'm anchored in Jesus. Day, know that I'm doing the will of God the Father. How about you? Are you there? The heat of the sun would beat them. It'd be hard, hot days. I'm sure you've had some hard days. You've had days when it seemed like the devil was just encamped around you. It seemed like the devil was trying to stop you on everything that you're trying to do. The devil is out there. He's a roaring lion, the Bible says, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's wanting to devour you today. He's wanting to just stop you in what you're doing. Anything that you're doing for Jesus, he wants to try to stop that. And if he can hinder you, he'll do that because he may not stop you from being a Christian. He may not stop you from being a church member. He may not stop you from doing the things that you're doing. But if he can be a hindrance in your life, he'll get the victory over you. If God wants you to be a musician or a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is, and if the devil can put a hindrance in your way to stop you from doing that, then he's got the victory, at least for the moment. And we need to understand today that our life is our life because of what Jesus did for us. He died on Calvary for us. He gave his life that we could have life. He gave his life that I could be redeemed. And when I die, when I just walk a life, I can go home to be with him. God protected this seed when it was time to be used, and he set it on fire. God may be getting ready to set you on fire today. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I don't know what I mean. I just know that God may be ready to take you and use you in whatever ministry he wants you to be used in. Whatever it could be anything. But God is ready to set you on fire. Let me tell you, God will protect you while you're doing that. He protected this bush. Who can imagine a bush out here burning? I mean, Moses saw it burning. That's why he stopped and he went over. He said, I'm going to go see what's going on. I'm going to go check out this bush, if you will, because it's burning, but it's not being consumed. Now, the Bible says God is a consuming fire, and he can consume us. He can take us all in and consume us, but he can use us for His honor and His glory if we'll be surrendered and committed to Him. And we need to understand that today, that God, when He sets you on fire and gets you ready to really go, He's there for you. See, there's a waiting time. When God wants you to be something, He prepares you for that. If you're going to be a doctor, you don't just decide, well, I'm going to be a doctor. Some of them act like that's what they did. But you know, you go to school, you finish high school, you go to college, you go to medical school, you go to internship, residency, years and years and years and years, so that you'll have the ability, when you go in to take care of a patient, that you've got the knowledge you need, everything you need, you've got backing, you've got everything you need to be a doctor. And the same thing to be a lawyer, the same thing to be a ditch digger, whatever it is, everybody cannot dig a ditch. Everybody cannot flip a hamburger. Did you know that? I've seen some people flip a hamburger kind of weird. And they get in there and they flip it and it's messy, maybe drop it on the floor or whatever. But if you can be trained to do your job, whatever your job is, and do it to the greatest of your ability, you can be the best deacon, the best preacher, the best teacher, the best greeter, whatever it is. God will train you, and when the time comes, He'll set your bush on fire. He'll set you to where you can get out there and you can do what needs to be done, what He has put you there for, what He has dedicated your life to, and we need to be dedicated to do what God has called us to do. Has God ever lit the fire of your life? Preacher, what are you talking about? You ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you and tell you, I want you to do so-and-so? You ever had me wake you up in the middle of the night and you wonder, what in the world, Lord, is going on? I can't sleep. That's a good time to talk to the Lord. He's trying to talk to you. He'll wake you up maybe in the middle of the night and talk to you about doing something for Him. Maybe there's a widow down the road that needs something done. There's somebody stuck in the ditch somewhere that needs something done, and He knows that you have the skills to get that done. Now, on my way home today, if I see somebody on the side of the road and they've got car trouble, and I hate to see anybody with car trouble, I pray, Lord, send them somebody. It would be useless for me to stop because I don't know anything about a car. I know my car now don't even use a key. It's got a button you push. I know where the spark plugs are. I almost know how they work. That's about all I know. But I'd take you in a hospital laboratory and work circles around you. See, we all have abilities. And God knows what He is. He's planted you here. He's directed you here to be a bush here at Hardin Valley Free Will Baptist Church so that you can be of use to this church and of use to the community. And He's about ready to set you on fire. Maybe He already has, and you don't know why things are going the way they're going. But He's protecting you from the harm of the devil. The devil would love to stop you, as I said a while ago. The devil knows that God could use you, and anything that God tries to do, the devil, since the beginning, has been against God, and if he can hinder you and stop you, he'll have a little mini victory, if you will, but God has planted you as a bush in the spot you're in for your reason, or for the reason that he got you here, and when he sets you on fire, let me tell you, he'll protect you while you're on fire. The devil will try everything in the world. It's amazing what I've tried against me. It's amazing what other people I know, the devil has tried against them. But let me tell you, God will protect you. He'll guide you. The Bible says in all paths of truth. He'll direct your paths. He'll put you where you need to be. You have to be submissive to Him. That's the problem. Most of us won't be submissive. We won't take our hands off of our life and say, Lord, take me and use me, mold me, and make me what you want to be. We may say that, but then when God begins to work on us and begins to get ready to light our bush, we get scared and nervous and we back up and say, no, Lord, I can't do that. Well, if God knew you couldn't do it, He wouldn't have you there in the first place. He knows what you're capable of doing. He knows your abilities. He knows that everybody can't be the pastor. Everybody can't be the Sunday school teacher. Everybody can't be the cleanup person. It takes somebody that knows what they're doing to clean up. Now, my daddy, when my mother was sick, my daddy would come in and he'd try to clean the house. I love my daddy with all that I was within me. He's been in heaven for many, many years. But let me tell you, ladies, he did not know how to clean the house. He would take a broom and go right down the middle of the floor. I kid you not. And to him, that was clean. My mother would get up and she'd be half sick and she'd just kind of wander around. She'd say, "Now, Cecil, this is not the way you clean the house." He said, "Well, I cleaned it." We do the same thing. We try to say, "Well, I'm doing the Lord's will." Are we really doing the Lord's will, or are we doing it the way we think it? That's when we need to be in prayer daily and say, "God, help me, guide me, direct me to do what I need to do." You got to remember, the bush here is not the important thing. The bush was used to get Moses to do what God wanted Moses to do. It was there. It was important. But not the main thing. The main thing was to get Moses off of the backside of the desert, get him down to Egypt, and deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And God used the bush to get that done. So whatever he's doing with you, you're not the important one. It's not all about you. It's all about him. It always has been. It always will be. We need to get self out of the way and say, "God, here am I. Take me, use me in any way that you want me to do." We need to back off and let God work. Too many times we try to direct God in how he's doing things. Can I be honest with you? I'll say this cautiously. There's been times when I've prayed about something and I've said, "Now, God, if I was you, that's what I would do. This would work, and Lord, I can see how this would be better and this would be better, and the end result would be down here." And I'm sure God is sitting up there laughing, "Such an idiot. What's he think he's doing?" But I tried to tell God how to do it. I've learned the best thing to do is just say, "God, this is the need. And if you want to use me, use me," and then get out of the way. But I need to be that bush that God can set on fire to get the job done. And are you willing to be that bush? Have you completely surrendered to the Lord at such a time as this? I know most people think, "I'm surrendered, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm a member of the church, I do this, this, this. I'm ready to go to heaven when I die." But let me ask you, have you really submitted yourself completely to the Lord? Have you come to the point that you've laid your whole life down and said, "Lord, it's up to you. It's not me, Lord, it's up to you. I want to be what you want me to be." And we have to be submitted. And when you do that, be prepared for whatever may come your way. God may ask you to move somewhere else. God may ask you to love someone that you just despise. You ever try to talk to someone you don't like? Man, that's hard to do. It's hard to go up to somebody in church that you just don't get along with. Go up to them every service and just shake their hand, say, "Hi, I'm glad to meet you. Glad you're here today." And don't be phony about it. Really mean it. So that when you can be used of God, he'll use you to help that person. You may be the only one that could help them. You may be the one that needs to surrender your life to God and say, "God, I want to recommit my life to you." Or, "God, I want to commit." I believe there's a lot of Christians today that have never really committed their entire life to the Lord. They're saved. I'm not saying they're not. They're saved. They're born again. But they're hanging on to things that they don't want to give up. We need to surrender it all. There's a song we used to sing several years ago. Maybe you still do. I don't know. "I surrender all. I surrender all. Lord, I give it all to you. I surrender all." Abraham, when he went up on the mountain there, not knowing where God was leading him, but he just went trusting God, and he drew the knife out to kill his son, his only son that God had him, through him, that would be a great generation of people that you could not even number them. But he trusted God, and he knew that if he killed his son, somehow God would bring him back to life. But he drew his knife out ready to kill his son. And God stopped him. He said, look over here. Over here in the bush is a ram. Take him and use him as a sacrifice. You've got to be committed to that point. Preacher, I don't know if I can do that or not. Then that's the problem. We got too much resistance against the will of God. Are you willing to be a bush today? Are you really willing to be a bush for God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Piano player, would you come?